Take me out to the ball game.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. Thank you so much for joining us and listening in today. I want to put some plugs out at the top of the show. I've been putting them at the back end of the show, but it kind of dawned on me. I wonder how many people are making it to the end of the show, since who knows even how many people are even making it to the beginning of the show, but I wanted to kind of get it out there. If you guys wouldn't mind throwing a follow at me at Twitter, at Yankees and Gravy on Twitter. At Facebook, if you, it's a friend page at this point right now, so it's Yankee Gravy, and if you type that in the search, you'll see me, and you can friend me. I don't have enough people I don't have the fan page yet that's active necessarily. I have a Yankees and Gravy fan page, but I don't really use it too much. My goal is to bump up the friend page a little bit, and then maybe switch over. The loyal people will come on over to the fan page after a while. And then also, if there are any questions or anything, any input, any feedback, since like we said, we do want to make this as interactive as possible. And it's cool to see more and more people are listening each week. I could check the views, and it gives you a decent idea as to how many people are into this thing. But we're looking for more feedback. We're trying to get this thing to be interactive. We want your questions, your opinions. I want you to tell me I'm a douchebag. I want you to tell me I'm an idiot, because that's, you know, you don't make it. You know, on this stuff until you have a few trolls and a few haters and stuff like that. But no, I promise we'll all take it in good spirits, and we just want to kind of get a back and forth going about the New York Yankees. And if you are looking for a Yankee podcast that comes out, I don't know, 2-3 times a week, you're not going to find it unless you find Yankees and Gravy. Opinions, offbeat, irreverent reactions to the games, a little bit of news, a little bit of stuff that maybe you don't know, but mostly it's basically a lifelong Yankee fan giving you his opinion on certain things and giving you his take. Take it or leave it if you like it. Keep on listening, and please share it. Also, where are we at as well? Oh, if you can kind of comment on this podcast, like it, share it, whatever. You could find it on iTunes, Yankees and Gravy on iTunes, Yankees and Gravy on SoundCloud, and Yankees and Gravy on Podomatic.com. That's who hosts my, I guess, my podcast. But let's get into it now. New York Yankee baseball is the topic. Tonight, I actually told you guys, if you guys have listened before, I'm in the restaurant business. I run, supervise, operate restaurants. When you do that, for as long as I have, you basically have to, by default, become a jack of every trades, and that does include DJing, so I absolutely do know my way around the DJ booth a little bit. And one of our locations in Citi Field, our Metropolitans from across the way, we have a location within the confines of Citi Field. They needed a DJ, and I was in the house of the Metropolitans today DJing for the pre, during, and post game New York Mets. That was fun. It was fun to watch them play our buddies in Toronto, the Blue Jays. So that was what happened there. Went into extra innings. Rainy day. Game went kind of fast for an extra inning game, but it was a crappy. It was a Monday. If you know ballpark restaurants, it was almost like the trifecta, the perfect storm. Non-arrival game on a Monday, with rain and extra innings. And you know what, rain sometimes can be good if it's enough rain to drive everybody inside, but any rain to speak of scared people off from even coming in the first place, and then it was playable the whole time. So if you were there, you were at the game. So that makes it even worse. So like basically, if you're trying to make money selling booze and food in a ballpark operation as far as a restaurant goes, every single thing that could have went wrong tonight did go wrong. The extra innings, which elongates the thing. It'll, on a Monday night, first of all, people don't come out on a Monday night. They weren't playing the Nationals or the Phillies or anything like that, or not that the Phillies are a good team, but they weren't playing a division rival. You know, the Monday game, you had the rain, which happened all day. So when people see it outside, they say, we're not going to a game in this. Then they actually do play. You don't get the benefit of the rain during the game, because otherwise people will come in and have to eat and drink and maybe try to, you know, get out of the rain a little bit. And you had the extra innings. And on a Monday night, when the game goes into extra innings, they are not coming to drink afterwards. So we did not have the best night as far as a money-making standpoint, but the Mets did win. So that was good for all the Mets fans. Tonight's game is pretty simple. There's not much to kind of go over on tonight's game. Tanaka pitched well. He pitched good. He didn't pitch great. He almost pitched great. It was probably a mistake, a home run away from pitching great. But, you know, and you got to give him credit, though, too. He after the game, he didn't give a crap about the offense. He was saying, you know what, I let up that home run. Forget the offense. That was on me. And he took it on the chin. And you got to like that from your ace. Because, you know, sometimes they could be divas and, you know, complain about run support, complain about defense, whatever it is. Whatever. Either way. A couple of other notes about today's game. Jose Ramirez. Damn. Was that not a train wreck? A train pileup? Multi-trains coming from different directions? All at top speed? Multiple casualties, train wreck. The guy freaking, he throws the first two pitches in the dirt. We felt bad for this guy. I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know what was in his head. He obviously was not fit to pitch at all tonight. Then he hit Stanton. It was funny too if you caught that. Stanton got blasted. It was a changeup, but anytime you get hit, you know, it's a tense moment. That one little tense moment. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. Not everybody speaks about it. But once that ball hits that batter, you know, everybody kind of stops for a second. Is he going to charge? Is he going to be pissed? Is it going to be a stare down? A bench is going to clear. It was so funny because Stanton is a beast. What is he, like 6'7", 260? It's a big man right there. And it was a so if he has any baseball IQ, he understands that, you know, Ramirez is not trying to hit him with an 85-mile-an-hour or 83-mile-an-hour changeup. But you did see McCann get right up in his face real quick and kind of say, come on, you know that was a mistake. This guy can't find it. This guy can't hit water off a boat. And that was the case, you know what I mean? What was also funny is to see Girardi running around like an animal just trying to waste time. He's on the phone. He's sending McCann out there. He's walking slow. He's pissed. He's aggravated. He's agitated. He's trying to, you know, give Santos a chance to warm up. And in the process, he's, you know, basically, he was a busy guy. You saw him scream over to McCann, go again, visit him again, go check him, you know, talk to him again, whatever it was. And then he goes out there and, you know, the slow stroll. And then he's still, this is why you got to love Joe Girardi. You can tell he's pissed off because this guy just gave him nothing. Tight game, 2-1, could still win this freaking thing. Loads the bases. Girardi still gives him the pat on the butt. He says, yeah, it's all right. We'll pick you up. You know, we'll pick you up. Go sit down. Don't worry about it. Because, you know, you got to be smart, man. You need these guys. The psyche is delicate. And, you know, if Girardi goes out there and be like, yeah, thanks for nothing, asshole. You know, this guy's hurt. This guy's going to be, you know, for the next time you want to be able to use him. You know, bad night's a bad night. We could all have bad nights. Everybody can. But Girardi is good with those pitches. He's good with those relievers. I think sometimes to a fault he saves them and kind of like you know, he babies them, it changes them up, righty lefty matchups all the time. But I think maybe he might know a little bit more than me. I'm just gonna go with that hunch. Tom Kohler, dominant. I mean, he's a decent pitcher. He's got a decent record and a decent ERA on not a great team. So he is pitching well this year. I think today he pitched extraordinarily well. However, the defense was great, so he had a lot of – and this is Girardi talking too. Girardi is the king of when people don't get hits or people don't – you know, he's the king of saying, well, yeah, they had some bad luck there. They had some good defense. We hit a lot of hard-hit balls, but right at people, this and that. I mean, is that not ever the case? Isn't there always your average – like Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. Same with baseball. You are what your batting average says you are. The guy who hits 360 – did he just get lucky and they all fall in? Or did he freaking hit some hard-hit balls right at people as well, too? I mean, it did seem that if you're watching today's game, there was a lot of good defense. There was some definite robberies out there. So you do give that to him a little bit. But the guy pitched good, very good. He was dominant, especially when you factor in the how good the defense was as well behind them. So either way, you tip your hat off to them. It's the freaking Marlins. You don't ever like to see losing 2-1 games to the Marlins, but that's why it's baseball. That's why it's 162 games, and that's why we get to play again three more times. One more in their park, two in ours, coming back. How does that work? Does that consider one series, or is that considered two series? Whatever. The two games. It's four games total, but it, they split it. Two at Yankee Stadium, two in Miami. Did you see that place? Is that place ridiculous or not? I mean, I guess it's cool. That thing just basically says it's desperately trying to get South Floridians to come off the beach and into a ballpark. They got fish tanks everywhere. They got flipping Marlins around. They got everything. I mean, the ballpark is 17 different colors. It's pretty funny. Whatever works, I hope it does work. I love South Florida, man. I really love South Florida. And if there's, I'd love for baseball to be successful in South Florida. So, if it works, people are going to the games. So be it. Great. So as bad as Jose Ramirez was, Sergio Santos, man, did this guy come in with a purpose or what? This guy comes in and he's got bases loaded and no outs and nobody scores. You know what I mean? That's just, say what you want. I don't know about his ability. I don't know how great the guy is. We haven't seen a lot from him. We just got him from the Dodgers very recently. But I don't care what you are long term. I haven't analyzed or scouted out his stuff or found out exactly what he brings to the table. But one thing you could take away from tonight's game and that performance: the guy has balls. No outs, bases loaded, he gets us out. And we got some help too. I thought he was going to repeat of Jose Ramirez when he bounced that one. I forgot who. I think it was Stanton. I'm not sure who. I think everybody's Stanton. I don't know who the hell it was. But the thing was about 5 feet before home plate, and the guy swung, and the bat wasn't within 2 feet of the ball. It was pretty funny to watch. So we got some help there. But, hey, whatever. We'll take it. We lost anyway, so it didn't help. Wasn't too much of a help. I thought the ump, I'm not going to say the ump squeezed us, but those low pitches, it's amazing. That's what baseball is all about, guys. Like, something as simple as that can tell you what a game is going to be, because we got that in the top of the ninth. We got that leadoff walk from McCann, put Brendan Ryan in. He stayed in first base. I mean, I would have done something with him. I would have, I don't know how fast he is. You guys maybe. No, but I mean, I'm assuming if he's pinch running, he's not too slow. He never made it off of first base. But what I'm trying to say is, there was a lot of pitches that definitely could have been called low, and you wouldn't really have had much of an argument. You saw those replays; they're right at the knees. When you look on the side view, but you know the view we're talking about, the view from the center field camera, at least two or three of those looked like they absolutely could have been called low and absolutely looked like they were being framed by the catcher a little bit. But again, they showed that side view and it looked like it crossed right at the knee. So you didn't get those calls, you know? And I'm not one of those, oh, you know, they cheated us, they squeezed us, the ump sucked. No, you know? Those calls could have went either way. They didn't go our way, and it absolutely had a lot to do with why we didn't win this baseball game today. So that's it. What else? So speaking of that, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, how the game is changing, and you don't get a chance to have these kind of blowouts on the base paths anymore, because all you have to do now is point to the dugout or point to the camera or whatever and tell them that they should look at the replay. It happened tonight with, Tex? Yeah, Tex. I think it was Tex, right, at first? Yeah, the pickoff play at first. Tex knew that he had him, and then he just pointed to the dugout to check out the replay. They did so, and then they called him out. They corrected the call. There's no secret, you guys know, that I am a pretty big fan of Francesa. You know, this guy's got to stop getting such a bad rap. You know what I mean? You know what I love about this guy? You know what I love? He's not made for freaking TV. He's not made for ESPN, and that's why I know he's having some trouble with FAM. And it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, because he's not going to be all polished up like First Take style and be debating with these high fashion clothes on and these slick little catchphrases back and forth. Stay with me for a second. I know he comes off crass. I know he comes off callous, and he can be mean to callers sometimes. And he is a buffoon a little bit when he doesn't let you talk, and he doesn't, and he harps on the same points over and over again. You have that. Nobody's freaking perfect. I understand his shortcomings, but for a guy who's, I mean, that fat bastard knows about some sports. He sits there. He's got no agenda. He's not trying to grandstand to anybody. He's not trying to do anything but stand there and do what he loves and talk sports from a standpoint that is very educated, not just with numbers. He's also got a feel. Even when he started talking hockey, you know he doesn't know anything about hockey. I kind of feel the same way about myself sometimes, if I do say so myself. You feel like, you know, if you played sports, if you watch sports, no matter what the sport is, there's just a psychology about it, and there's just a feel you can kind of grab about, you know, how the athlete's frame of mind is and the will of an athlete and what he has to do and what, you know, how the emotion plays into a game, the confidence level, the, you know, just you know, the ones who choke versus the ones who don't choke, and you kind of just get a feel for how these games are going. I don't watch hockey. I got into it with the Rangers. I get into it every year, last couple of years, as they're kind of, you know, trying to at least close the book on a Stanley Cup. Hopefully they get one of these and they don't end up being the mid-90s Knicks, but or the San Francisco 49ers, as they say right now. So, I mean, he does. He sits there. He's not trying to impress you. He doesn't want it to be about him. He's not a self-marketer. He's not a self-promoter. I happen to know that he does give a lot to charity. And I happen to know that he is an absolute saint when it comes to the people who work for him. He's a family guy. He just comes to work, puts the glasses on, gets the Diet Coke, and he just talks sports. He rambles, he goes over the top, but you know what? This guy, you know, when you put on Michael Kay, when you put on some of these ESPN guys, they're putting on a show for you. They're trying to, you know what I hate about Michael Kay? He don't say shit about the Yankees, if you notice that. He'll put his opinions out there, but he's a Yankee company guy. But then when it comes to the Knicks, he will go on tirades. He will call for people's heads. It's a joke. We're going on and on about some crazy stuff here that we didn't necessarily mean to get into. But either way, give Francesa a chance, man. Don't worry about it. Don't take it personally that he's not going to say, hey, how are you? Or he's not going to have the big smile. Or he's not going to, you know. But this guy is like your freaking pissed off uncle that you love. That he's never happy, but you know what? He's gonna be there when you need him. He's gonna do the job for you. The guy works 6.5 hours a day, or whatever it is, by himself. You know what I mean? Great. Yeah, he snoozes off a couple of times. I probably would too. I mean, wouldn't you? Whatever. Especially with Sweeney Murdy going on and on about who knows the fuck he's talking about. But either way, so the reason I even said that was because I guess it was Francesa, who was talking to Girardi, relayed what Joe Torre told him, and this was interesting, saying that the more people, and you saw it with Sabathia and Girardi the other day when they both got kicked out of the game, more people are going to get kicked out of the game because of balls and strikes, because there's no reason to argue anymore. And arguing with the umpires, as Joe Torre will tell you, was part of the game. You use that as a little bit of a tool to kind of show a little emotion. You wake your team up. You get, not necessarily every time to get thrown out of a game, but to put on a little bit of show, to get out there, to get the crowd back into it, to see what's going to happen, and maybe, yeah, sometimes to get thrown out and to kind of like maybe do a little spectacle and then get your money's worth before you actually. Now, there's no reason to do that. And that takes away from that part of the game. You can't really, you know, you don't have that tool to fire your team up anymore. And Torre said that's an interesting aspect to things, and that's why you're seeing more people argue balls and strikes, because they're trying to still keep the whole, you know, old school umpire manager blowups in play. That still was a great, I forgot what the hell's the guy's name, but the guy in the Mariners when they were playing the Yankees, that was a good old school one. When he ran to each umpire, it was awesome. I want to see more of those. I hope they come back. That's Torrey. The Yankee team as a whole, guys, what have we been talking about the whole time? Now, they won yesterday, so they salvaged that last game with Baltimore. But we're in a 3 out of 4 slide now. What did we say last time? Good runs and bad runs. We were in the middle of a good run last time we spoke. We were blowing up the league, and now we're lost 3 out of 4. This team needs to get some consistency. We need to be able to put a streak together where we don't, you know, sweep 3 teams in a row. We don't, you know, go on a 9-8 run. That's nice. Of course, it's beautiful, but I want to see us start to win series. You know what I mean? I want to see us win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, you know, 4 or 5 times in a row. That's what good teams do. Good teams stay consistent. They're not hot, then cold, then hot, then cold, this and that. To the point right now, you know, speaking of the Mets game tonight, our Blue Jays, where I was able to kind of be on hand for, helped us. They did us a huge favor tonight by losing to the Mets. The Mets actually did us the favor by winning, I'll say, because that was, you know, they won. So good job to our crosstown little brothers. They helped us because had they not won tonight in that extra inning game, we would be sharing whatever you want to call it, second or third place, with the Toronto Blue Jays. They are only a game behind us right now. And the way we're looking right now, guys, is not good. Now, the streakiness and the up and down was good and it was okay as long as we had those big ones, because we knew we had a pretty good team. Now the way things are looking, Ellsbury and Miller not being in the mix, I mean, those are two of the top 4 guys we have on this team, and those are the guys that we're not able to win long term without those guys. So what we got to do is hope for is if we don't get help, we gotta hopefully stay maybe around 500. If we stay around 500, we should still be within a couple of games of the lead of the division. Then these guys come back, we get a little help, and then we make a push. That's what's gotta happen. I don't know what these freaking guys are thinking, though. I don't know whether Cashman or Steinbrenner are thinking this isn't the year, because that's what the people are saying to the Mets already. The Mets are battling in first place. They're in the mix, too. They can win just as easily as anybody, but when people talk about the Mets, it's almost like they have a pass. Well, they're having a really good year. They're doing very well. Pitching looks great. But no, this isn't the year. We could tell already. Why the fuck isn't this the year? We're 66 games into the season, and you're right about in first place. We're almost at the All-Star break. Let's make this the year. You don't get so many of these years. There's no guarantee you're going to come back next year better than you were this year. It just doesn't happen. It's not a guarantee. So anytime you're in the mix, anytime you're, you know, able to, you know, in the mix for a playoff berth, which, you know, you just get in the playoffs and you got a shot. And anytime you get a chance to make the playoffs, you got to make that push at all costs. That's what I think anyway. I mean, they'll be like, yeah, we're doing good. We're in first place. But, you know, I could tell we're missing some pieces. What happens if the, you know, somebody else get, we get injuries all the time. Yankees, Mets, we get, the Nationals or, you know, the Rays or whoever else, they get an injury, or any of the big teams in our divisions, that anybody could get injuries, or any tide can turn at any time. You think the Red Sox thought they'd be in dead last place with the only negative run differential in the American League East right now? No, they thought they'd be banging with those hitters on those teams. They knew this pitching was suspect, but they at least thought they were going to bang with those bats. They're not, you know what I mean? So when you got the chance to go for it, I think you got to go for it. And I know what George, you know, the boss would have done. Hopefully Cashman and Little George will do the same thing. I shouldn't say Little George. It's Hal, obviously. You know what I'm talking about. Who else? The injury is taking the toll. We talked about that. We got to get these guys back, man. How about tonight? Alex Rodriguez. You know, it sucks that he can't play. I don't know what they had him at third a little bit this year, and then just one day they decided that nope, he can't play anymore. I know he made a few errors, but he made a couple of nice plays too. I don't know why you got to do things like that. Remember, a couple years ago they did the same thing with Posada. Jorge Posada will not be a catcher for us. Why do you have to say that? Why don't you just sit Jorge down and tell him, listen, we don't plan on catching this year. If it's an emergency, we'll put you out there. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Same thing with A-Rod. Maybe he's not meant to play third base, and I agree with not playing him at third base because he's older and he's doing so well at DH and he's settling into that role. And why risk him getting hurt, especially when we don't have a ton of offense? So I agree with it. But, you know, so basically my point is it's almost a foregone conclusion that he can't play if we play in a National League park because there's no DH. So he's regulated to a pinch hitter. So tonight, you saw it coming. We got the guy on first base, Brendan Ryan, who pinch ran for McCann, and it's two outs, and what are we going to do? Now this is a weird, weird decision because I want to punch myself in the face for even suggesting this, but I said it on the last podcast about how Steven Drew has had this enigmatic season, and I can't explain it. I don't know what the hell the deal is, but he's a lefty. The pitcher was a righty, and Steven Drew has 9 home runs. And I got to say, I feel like 5 of those freaking home runs were game winners. This guy has definitely stepped up in the big spot, and the problem is he hits 150. I don't know. So that's a tough call, man. I didn't envy that call. I'm not going to knock Girardi. I'm not going to be the Monday morning quarterback and be like, oh, he should have left Drew in. I know I knock Drew all the time, but he does the big. I would not have knocked him either way because Drew, for what he's done late in games, despite how much of a beating he's taken from me and from everybody else who covers baseball, you could make the argument he deserves to hit in that spot. You really can. I'm kind of toeing the line here, and I'm being a coward. I'm not calling it either way. You know what? I'm going to call it. I say you do. You do hit A-Rod in that situation. You just kind of have to. A-Rod, being A-Rod, he deserves the shot. So you put him up there, and what happened next was, I mean, I am not going to lie. I got some on a Monday night, June 16th, early in the baseball season, in the ninth inning in a 2-1 game against the Marlins, I got some chills tonight because you guys know I root for this guy, A-Rod, for whatever reason. I still don't know yet. I just feel like, you know, comes a time when a guy takes so much shit from people that, you know what, it's so easy for all these beer-drinking fat asses like me to be able to just run their mouths, A-Rod, A-Roy, juice head, jerk off. And, you know, after a while, it's like, you know what, you're a nobody. Just shut up. Are you perfect, you know? When enough people just drop the hammer on somebody, I start to get sympathetic towards them. And I'm still in the minority. People still hate this guy. Lifelong Yankee fans that I know still hate this guy. But I have a little freaking soft spot for him. So it was very, very nice for me to see, you know. And I know there was booze in there. I know it wasn't all standing ovation cheers. And it wasn't like, you know, 50,000 people in unison screaming A-Rod. But everybody got on their feet, and I would say probably 75% of those people were cheering. The boos were loud, but 75% of those people were cheering for their hometown hero, Alex Rodriguez, for his first at-bat in that ballpark. I think it was his first at-bat in a Marlins ballpark. I think they played the Marlins, but I don't know where. It was in either Texas, Seattle, or New York. I'm not sure where, but I think that's what they said. It was his first at-bat in Miami, basically. And you know what? That had to affect him, and he said it after the game too. Man, he got his pitch. The table was set. It just didn't happen. It would have been a great moment. It just didn't happen. It sucked. Could have been great. That would have been a whole different podcast, ladies and gentlemen, if A-Rod would have put us ahead on that one, but it didn't happen. Tell me what you think. Should Steven Drew have hit? I don't know. My buddy Brendan, another big Yankee fan, big baseball guy, he just randomly Facebooked me today a picture of Wade Boggs on a horse. I have no idea why he said it, and I wrote back, wow, throwback, huh? You going Boggs on the horse out of nowhere? He was like, yeah. He's like, I was just thinking about it because it was just one of his greatest baseball memories. And he told me the horses were all over the place outside. The place was bedlam. There was horses outside, cops on horses. He said his friend got knocked over by one of the horses, and the horse actually shit on him. And I was freaking pissing myself. And that was 96, the first Yankee World Series. If you can put yourself back, you can't, a lot of you, because you're too young. But those of you who aren't, who are in the New York area, and, you know, like I said, started rooting for the Yankees when I was 5 years old. That's 1980 or 81, so I was 6 years old. And nothing, no World Series in it. Most years, competitive, most years, never won shit. And then in 1996, when am I, 23, 24 years old, and they freaking win. So that was, he was basically saying, I was just thinking about the greatest Yankee. So it got me thinking. I told him back about my 96 Yankee story. Me and my friends were at a bar. We're young. We're punks. We're, you know, whatever. We're just having the time of our lives. And, you know, we were in this bar. And, you know, when they went down 0-2 against the Braves, you were just like, damn, you know what, though? Thanks so much for these freaking memories. Thanks so much for taking us to a World Series and getting us there. And, you know, you're down 0-2 against that Braves pitching staff. And you never won nothing. So I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I didn't think we had – I thought we were done. We had this young team of guys who, you know, are just kind of like a ragtag bunch that were put together, that were homegrown guys, but put together, you know, whatever. I really didn't think we had a chance, but then we just started winning those late-game heroics, whether it was Brocious, whether it was Leyritz, whether it was Bernie, whoever it was. You just got – that's where the mystique and aura was born. That's where the mystique – you know, the ghosts that Jeter talks about, all those years of good baseball and good enjoyment, like, and just pleasure that this team brought us over here started that year. And – it was the unknown going into 96. You were like, what's going to happen? And then when they won those three games, you know, then it was like that game six. Then you kind of knew we were going to win game six. You just had that feeling that, you know, this it. It's our team. It's destiny. So then we win it. So then it's still, but it goes down to the wire even that game. But then in the last inning, we're at this bar, and me and my five friends, you know, we've been like lifelong friends forever. We all get three shots each, and basically because this is something we've been waiting for all our 24, 25 years of life, 20, whatever it was, and, you know, we're going to do a shot for each out, and then that's going to be it. And this is I'm not proud to tell you guys this, but yeah, boom, one out, shot, boom, two out, shot. And then when we got that third out, when the ball went up and Charlie Hayes is looking up, drifting towards foul territory, and you're wondering, is it going to stay in? And then you finally just watch him, and you see that he stops right on that warning track next to the third baseline, halfway towards left field, and he stops dead in his tracks, and he's still looking up. That's when you knew we were going to win the World Series. In his glove, squeezes it, he jumps, we take our last shot, and we just ram, before we take the shot, we ram the shots into each other. Broken glass everywhere. We're bleeding. We don't even get the shot. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. There's blood, there's glass, and we're literally crying with enjoyment, jumping up and down. The bar, you know, obviously at that moment went away from the game broadcast and dropped New York, New York by Sinatra. And everybody in that place was just, you got to remember, man, this is not the 2009 World Series. This isn't the 2000 World Series. This is 96. We haven't had anything in 15 years. Oh, man. All right, let me calm down. That was one hell of a memory, though, since we were sharing 96 Yankee stories. A little gravy this week. What are we talking about? I went to a place last week, 2 weeks ago. I was looking for a batting cage, and I like to do it a few times a year just to kind of like, you know, make sure and kind of tell myself, you know, you could still hit a ball that comes at you at 70, 80 miles per hour. And I live in Astoria, Queens, which is right near the Triborough Bridge that gets you right to the Bronx. But we have this place called Astoria Sports Complex, and that's where I've been going the last couple of years when I do go. But it's this little kind of like indoors, overly heated, noisy, almost like a cage where you hit it. You got about, you know, you can only hit it as far as it's pitched from because it's basically like a wall of fence. that's maybe like, I don't know, 50, 60 feet away. And then you hit it and it goes right into the cage. It goes right into the fence where it came from. And that's as far as it can go. So I kind of wanted to find and see if there was like a outdoor place where I could kind of, you know, admire my admire some hits, or get some fresh air, you know. And then I saw I looked online and I saw this place called Randall's Island Golf Club, and it looked pretty interesting. Had a bunch of stuff, so I went there and I grabbed a friend and we went. And this place is like a freaking paradise. If you're in the New York area, and again, you know they're not paying me. You know I don't have any sponsors yet. Well, if you don't know, I'm telling you, they're not paying me. I don't have any sponsors, but I just wanted to basically share this place with you guys. I feel like it's like a little hidden gem. It's a little tough to get to. That's probably the problem. But it's a large complex. It's right next to Randall's Island Stadium, and it has batting cages, a big tent where you could kind of hit them out there. You know, probably a couple of hundred feet. You could see the ball go. It's got plenty of different. It's got softball and baseball. It's got plenty of different mile per hour choices, whether it's slow, medium, fast, very fast, the usuals, I guess. It's also got a little mini beer garden that has live music right next to the batting cages. It's also got a pitching, a short game area where you could, you know, work on. I don't golf. I mean, this is how it is. I don't golf, but they have a driving range there too. It's one of those two-story driving ranges where you're overlooking, you know, the skyline and a couple of the bridges, and you're looking out there, and you know, it makes you a guy who's been golfing maybe five or six times and has stopped by the fifth hole every time because I get too frustrated because it's just something I'm not good at. I really enjoyed myself. I got a bucket of balls. It was a nice setting. It was peaceful. The weather was beautiful. And I just started cracking some golf balls out there. It also has, I didn't get a chance to do this, but it has a mini golf course. It's like a legit one. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, the top of a cruise ship, or it's not like, you know, one of those things off the side of the highway. You know, that's the thing too. You feel like when you're out there, you feel like you're away from the city. You're just over the Triboro, but you feel like you're away from the city. It's also got cornhole games. It's got horseshoes. It's got beach volley. It's real like beach volleyball setup, and it's also got like grilling grounds. It's like I saw they do. It looks like they set up for special events. I saw two areas where they was tented off, and they had grill, you know, picnic benches and grills and stuff like that. They had some smokers out there, so I want to go back there every chance I get. Most either Saturday or Sunday, whenever I can get out there to hit some balls and kind of be outside. You could freaking get loaded up at the beer garden, listen to some live music. You could do whatever you want. I'm gonna look into it for a staff outing for my staff. But I recommend checking it out. Also, big congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks for winning the Stanley Cup tonight. I'm not a hockey fan, but you know, anytime a team wins a championship, being a sports fan, you have to give it its just due. So the Blackhawks are the champions. Then we got when is it? Wednesday, right? Wednesday's game. Game 6. Yeah, game 6. Warriors are ahead 3-2. This is interesting, man. I am into basketball. This is going to be interesting. If you know, you got to like LeBron's chances, because basically you're looking at this as like, this is it. You're looking at this as you can't lose at home. You have to go all out. You're going to have everything. You're going to have the place is going to be nuts. You got an extra day of rest as well, because it's 2 days before each game, before the next game in the finals. There's a lot of, you know, even if, you know, I think we all can kind of probably agree that the Warriors look like the better all-around team and probably should win. But LeBron freaking James in his building in a game 6, you gotta like his chances in that game. And if they win that game, now you're just talking about one game, that's it, and who knows what could happen. So that's going to be some exciting stuff. If I was Golden State, I would really look to try to shut it down this time. I wouldn't want to go into a Game 7 with LeBron James. It's just that's going to be the biggest and baddest thing he's ever accomplished and overcame. I don't care what he says about Boston when he had a bunch of all-stars on his team and he was, you know, in Miami and he was younger and, you know, this and that. This is if he does this, it's going to be amazing. And I'm kind of rooting for it. I was never always a big LeBron guy, but I do root for greatness, and we should all, if he wins this series, we should all feel privileged to see what's going on. But that's about it for the podcast this week, today. I mean, I'm doing multiples a week, so I didn't mean this week. If you can, please write me, yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. Friend me on Facebook, Yankee Gravy, simple. Just search Yankee Gravy, no end, Yankee Gravy. Twitter, it is Yankees and Gravy on Twitter, @YankeesandGravy on Twitter. And if you please could check out the podcast, subscribe on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, look up podcasts, and search for Yankees and Gravy. And I'll be there, and I'll continue to be here talking Yankees with you guys. Thanks again. Please share it. Please let people know. The more views and stuff I see, the more encouraged I get to keep bringing this stuff to you guys. And like I said, if there was somebody else out there doing it, if there is, I would be listening to them because I want more Yankee stuff. And there's not. So it's me. Hopefully you enjoy it, and we will talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for listening.